You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
Alana Strosner, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
No, this is brilliant. I mean, you have a fascinating life story. I mean, absolutely fascinating. And with all interviews, I start with people's backgrounds. And you were born in Vilnius, but you have a Lithuanian mother and an Iraqi father. Yes. And your family, with your sister, then moved to Iraq. And you were brought up in your early years in Iraq. What can you remember about that time in Iraq? And what did your parents do there?
Actually, it's really, how to say, it was a paradise, actually, when we lived in Baghdad with family all together. You know, I grew as a kid, and, you know, I was in a school, and, you know, my father was, he got construction company. He worked so hard, you know, but before we were not so successful, before we came to Baghdad, because my father, he brought my mom to Baghdad and started living together, you know, and it was not so easy. But then my father get very well in the business, and he got succeed, and you know, and we lived. I didn't see that because I grew as a kid, you know. I don't remember, like, because I was like 4 or 3 years old, but then I remember that we lived like, you know, full family. I mean, mother, father, with a huge family, because he came from, he came from 12 kid family, you know, so a huge family. So he got aunts, cousins all the time in the house, you know, we got parties all the time, you know, every weekend. So many people around us, you know, and we having fun, so much fun there. It was really, I still, it's in my mind, you know, all the time, you know, because it really was a great time, great time, great time back then. It was really great time.
You know? I mean, there's one trip that I read about. You went with your mother when you were 6 years old, which was in 1980, I believe. Yeah. You went to Berlin.
Oh, you know, we travel a lot. We travel a lot because back then we have passports, which allows us to travel, you know, because my mother was from foreign Soviet Union, you know, back then it was very hard to do anything because the border was closed. You can't travel anywhere. So, but because of my father, he's a foreigner from Iraq. So, and we got foreign passports, so we can afford to travel around the world. So the first country was Germany, and the city was Berlin. As I remember, it's a fantastic, for me, it was like, I don't know, it's something like very Western, you know, very Western. But, you know, for me as a kid, for me was most important thing was to travel with my family, with parents, you know. My father, he works all the time. He worked all the time. He don't have time to travel with us. So most of the time we traveled with the mother, and even sometimes sister, she was left with the father, and you know, and vice versa. So, but we have all the in the Baghdad all the time. We have had some family members in the house all the time, and it was really paradise. We had everything what we want was, you know, because back then Baghdad was the prosperous city, you know, one of the prosperous cities in the world. So we had everything, you know. So What I can't compare with Soviet Union when we were brought back to Soviet Union. So
what about Baghdad?
Former Soviet Union.
What about Baghdad as a cultural city, and what sort of, you know, I know you were at a very, very young age, so it's difficult to know what people remember from that, from their very young years. But do you remember like being surrounded by music, by Arabic music, what you would hear at that point?
We were surrounded by family members all the time, you know, and our family loved music, and Iraqi people loves music so much, you know. They had in the roots, they love to listen, they love sing, they love participate in the parties, you know. And my first touch with the music was with my parents, because they gather some vinyls and have huge collections. They like to listen Beatles, Rolling Stone, ABBA. Many back then, the band was very popular bands, and I grew up with this music, and actually also local music, Middle East music, Iraqi style music especially. So, and every weekend, or we are going somewhere to someone's house, or everybody's coming to our house. You know, and all the time I remember when my parents were dancing together in these parties, singing, having fun. You know, I was so much excited waiting for every party, because I like to show off on the parties. You know, so I was a kid, I liked to showing like off, like I'm dancing with them, you know, like participating together. So, and so we were going out also in the restaurants, and all around every restaurants where we going was music, local music, cultural local music, and people really love the culture is so old and have roots, you know. And it's really people, you can tell that the culture is in it, in inside of them, you know. And so you can tell them, because everywhere you go, all the time music, local music, Iraqi style music, they love to dance, sing. And of course, if we will talk about style, you know, the style, you know, they dress like, my God, like pimps, you know. And and you know, 70s, 80s, it's like the gold, you know. And the, you know, all this with the, I mean, style of 70s, you know, all the hair, you know, the shoes on the platforms, you know, trousers, you know, it's amazing cars, you know, American cars, you know, it's like from the movies. I was like in a movie.
I mean, it's a life defining moment for anyone, and a terrible thing to have happened when you're a young child, that your mother dies when you're 8 years old. And not only does your mother die, but it has other consequences, because you go to live with your parents your grandparents, sorry, in Lithuania. How do you remember, you know, I mean, it's such a hard thing, but do you remember when she died, and how you felt about your life suddenly being unearthed and upturned and changed?
You're right. We left Saddam Hussein's Iraq, and because of my mother's sickness, and our family actually were separated. I brought up alone first time by the plane to Moscow. And my grandmother, she met me there. And then my father, he took my mother to Germany, Köln. because he was trying to do the best he can to help her. And then my sister came along later. So for me, first time when I was brought back to former Soviet Union, Lithuania, it was for me horrible. Horrible because not only that I was separated from my parents, but also that I was brought to a place which really doesn't look like Baghdad. There was a lack of everything, you know, the situation, you know, back then, the communist and all this, you know, everybody's like in the cage. People were very, by the faces, you can tell that they're not so happy, you know. Not all the time, but the environment was very harsh, you know. The stores was half empty, you know. You cannot get fruits, you know, many things. You know, it was very hard for me to just I was there, and suddenly I was brought to Lithuania, you know. So this was like first impression. Everything was gray, you know. There is nowhere to go, like to have fun, and you can feel the tension in the air, and you can have to adapt, and to invisible rules, you know, like how to act, you know. And you cannot say anything like if against you know, communist and all, you know, regime, you know, Soviet Union. So it was not easy. It was not easy.
Did you even speak the language back then? Or were you brought up in Arabic, I presume?
I was brought up in Arabic.
So what, you were really an outsider coming to...
Yeah, I'm outside, absolutely. But you know, I was very friendly. And I get started to gain the friends around, you know. I got these chewing gums, you know, in my pockets, you know. All things which comes from Western world. It seems to me easy was to gathering friends around me in the yard, you know. I start to learn the language. It takes for me, it took, you know, maybe 1 month, you know. I was already speaking Lithuania, you know. So but to go back to your main question, I remember that time when my mother died, you know. I remember very well because she died in my arms. I can say that. And I cannot explain, and it's hard to put in the words. Well, you know, it's like... One second you in the paradise, another second you are in the hell. I cannot say any words to describe this feeling, you know. So it was terrible for me, but I mean not physically, but spiritually, you know? And around I wasn't my father wasn't around. You know, my sister, she wasn't around. They were in the Baghdad back then. So I was alone with my grandma and grandfather. So, and I had this ambulance, you know, the people from hospital, this trying to get back my mother to life, you know, and all this situation. And I was like standing as a kid and looking to the bed and watching this, you know, was like horrible, me, terrifying. you know. And
so
I still did. I still, you know, I was watching. I don't understand what's going on. You know, is it really going to happen? And it was.
I mean, it's. I mean, my mother died in my arms, but she was 93. You know, I had had a whole life knowing my mother and accompanying her over the last few years to death. So, and that was still a traumatic experience, even as, you know, a grown man. But as a child, to actually have to experience that, what do you look back and do you see that it changed you in, you know, in a very dramatic way, change your perception of the world, change you as a human being?
It really changed me strongly, I would say.
When you say strongly, what do you mean?
I mean my perception to the world. I felt that I'm gonna be alone, you know, nobody gonna stand behind me. Because, you know, if you are grown up, so it's another story. But when I was 8 years old is another story. And my father wasn't around and my sister wasn't around. And I remember the third day, I was laying in the bed. Sorry. I was laying in the bed and I was crying so hard, and we buried my mother the next day. And I felt that I'm going to be alone no matter what. So this is the life which I have to accept. So, and I started from this point. So anyway, I'm not going to change anything, but this is the reality which I have to accept and to move forward, to go on with the life. So this is what pumps me in my mind.
Yeah, it's obviously given you an immense drive in your life. Now, you mentioned in Iraq, like listening to ABBA, the Beatles, the Stones, that sort of music.
And many other bands, you know.
Yeah. Okay,
Demi Rousseau, Demi Rousseau, goodbye, my love, goodbye. Yeah, because my father and mother used to dance on these songs, you know, so, you know.
We have a similar background, because that's what my mother used to dance to in the 70s.
Yes. When,
after that period, what sort of music, or what sort of, or when were you really, when did you really encounter Western music in Lithuania? And what did you encounter? What sort of music did you listen to there?
It's like I starting to, of course, after all this story and, you know, some all what I got left is my memories. And my memories was very bright, and especially about music. My parents, they gave me such a background. They gave me this love to music, because they, my mother especially, they, she tried to brought me to this music school, school of arts, you know. So because she seems to feel something that I had something, you know. So because I was very energetic when the music was around. So she thought maybe I have something about it. And of course, all opportunities what we got in Baghdad to listen, we can listen anything we want. But back then in Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, Lithuania, you cannot listen anything from the Western world. So it was impossible. And, you know, of course, well, I was trying to search some music, because I cannot live without music, even when I was a kid. And I see that local people love also dance, sing and watching TV, watching concerts. But of course, it was local concerts, local music, and you cannot get any foreigner music to. And I was trying to then find something in the local music, find something that which I like, which I want to be part of it. So, and I was then I get back. They took me to school, and you know, school music classes, you know, and then you know, we got friends, older classes. We got satellites in his countryside. We were trying to get some music from the, you know, from satellite radios and to get recorded. Just imagine back then, you know, and we recorded all foreign music, 80s, 90s music, and you know, and in the school they let us make a disco every weekends. We got disco parties, and I tried to try to and I'm and then I got team schoolmates, which very interesting in DJing, you know, back then with vinyls, you know, and with cassettes, you know, and we got some radio techniques people which can do some stuff, you know, the lights, you know, and we got very good principal in the school. He helped us a lot. He understand our hearts and that so passionate about music and having some school parties back then. So he helped us a lot. He closed the eyes on many things. And, you know, and this is how I started to, you know, I started to, you know, my road, you know, how to say my road
was your journey.
My journey. I started my journey like that. But what's your question, Steve?
I just wonder what sort of music, because obviously there was a sort of, you know, when I went to the Soviet Union in that period in the 80s, and there was a sort of black market at one point for music. The world was in change. You know, we had the Cold War. We, you know, the fall of the Soviet Union, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and things were massively changing. And a lot of Western culture was seeping in and slowly coming in. There was a black market at the start, and then it would really come in. And I just wondered what Western bands, and I bet I know which one.
We got black markets also. We got back then also black markets, vinyls, which we were no places where we can buy, you know. The first, which pumps in my mind was Pink Floyd, you know, because the band was really against the, especially they use Russian language, you know, and forbidden. They were forbidden, absolutely. This is what catches that. What is forbidden, you know? The first thing was Pink Floyd, actually. And after all, come other bands, you know. My first touch with the Depeche Mode was, I found some tape in my friend's house, you know. It was written, Depeche Mode, people are people, you know. And I rolled that tape because I was a DJ, you know. So I rolled that tape and I start to listen. And I was like, oh my God, what's that? Like, you know, all this metal, you know, and some nice melody rolled on it, you know, and it was like, my God, what's that about, you know? So this is also touched me very deep, you know? Other bands was, I remember that AC/DC, you know, was really thunder. And later when we're the vocalist was alive, Then there was a new wave, the new wave, the Duran Duran was very nice band, I remember.
You're listening to Pop, the History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
When I was a teenager, and I always sort of mention this in interviews, that...
Because it comes later to us, you know?
Oh, yeah,
Much more later.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. But what I'm saying is that when I was a teenager, then I was a, you know, I was a teenager in 13 in 1972, so I'm a lot older. And I, Bowie was, you know, the major figure in my life. And
let's dance.
Well, even before that, but he represented a world where I wanted to go into. Do you know what I mean? He represented more than just music. So did these bands represent something more than music to you, and what was that?
Of definitely, Steve. Especially U2, Depeche Mode, Pink Floyd, Bronski Beat, I remember very well. So Camouflage, such a bands, and many of them. Because we were revivals, you know, of that time, and we're trying to make something new, and of course, Western music very influences, you know. And it's not only about music, but was about freedom, you know. For us, it was very important, freedom. Freedom outwardly. Of course, outwardly, and of course, inwardly, to feel free to do what you want, and to act and to listen and whatever, to dress, you know. So this is what this, and these bands were representing all this, you know. And you see how they act, what they talk, you know. How they dressed, you know, and like you saying, David Bowie, for example, amazing figure. So,
so how did your first band, how did that Tinas Personas, if I was saying that right, how did that band come about? And what, you know, I went onto YouTube today, and although there's no, I couldn't find the video, there's and I think there is one, there's a song called Ia Tap Visada, if I've said that right. And so always
Visada.
I probably said it completely wrong, but anyhow, you can correct me. And it's very much, you know, you really have the feeling this is influenced by Depeche Mode. This, you know, it really has this feeling of the synth pop, but a little bit of darkness thrown in, as you said, like,
definitely,
you know, I think,
definitely,
you know, you mentioned the sort of drums of the People Are People was a, you
yes,
know, that sort of
absolutely,
track.
Absolutely, definitely. We were, you know, experimenting, and we were first band which, you know, jump into electronic sounds in Lithuania, and we were formed some sound, and the first band which we're trying to brought some new direction to Lithuania, because back then was all old school, like you know, the, I mean, this how to call the style is very old, and you know, disco mixed with the something with the, you know, with the Soviet Union style. I don't know, I can't describe it even. So, and we were first band which acts very free and dressed and making music, you know. And what's your question, Steve?
No, this must have been, I mean, it must have been a very exciting time, because once the Soviet Union dissolved and Lithuania became its own country again, and you had then freedoms that you didn't have before. And so the first thing that I can imagine that many young people dream of being in a band and starting a band. So this must have been a very exciting time. And that freedom must have given you a lot of creativity. So how did you grasp that? You know, how did you sort of take that by the horns and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do? Or did it start off just as a bit of fun, something that wasn't very serious?
Yeah, it was and serious and fun in the same the same time, you know? You know why? Because we were, you know, all that time we spent, you know, in Soviet, former Soviet Union, we were preparing ourselves, you know, for something huge. We didn't know that, but because all this background and what we collected, information, sounds, all our experiences in the school, partying, making parties in the weekend, DJing, you know, this is, you become familiar with the music, you know, and, you know, what I can say is, then I started to remember my mom, you know, which she gives me first touch with the music, my parents, you know, and they brought me this idea and those video which I watched back then in Baghdad with the full people of concerts, you know, and this experience, amazing experience, you know, when all people together stand, you know, and they sing, you know, and this huge crowd, you know, it makes you so, you know, I cannot explain this feeling. And this feeling came to my heart, you know, and this become my dream. And I start pursuing my dream. So it starts very, very earlier in the school. This is where I met music and listen. I mean, more deeper, you know, than when I was a kid, like 6 or 5 years old, you know, I was like 11, 12, you know, and it's forbidden that time. So it's like a fruit, forbidden fruit, you know. Drives me, you know, this is what drives me. So, you know, and I want to be a part of it.
By the time the third album came out, you achieved a lot of success. So you achieved this success. And then another twist comes in, you know, which is, it's such a bizarre life of twists and turns that you've had. And then in 1990...
Same time, like in a former Soviet Union, you were in Soviet Union, so next time, already it's, we got freedom, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like pulling off everything, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, people was very high, you know, and so you know, you can feel in the air this freedom, you know, and yeah, all this music which gathers people together, you know, and it was amazing power, you know, so this is what we felt that time. Yeah.
Huh? But then you had your own, you know, you had your success with this band, and then you were in a car crash with your manager and your main partner in the band.
All 97.
In 97, yeah.
That August was 21. Yeah. August 21.
Oh, wow. And so tell
11,
me about...
11:30 or something. Yeah.
So, okay, tell me what you remember about it.
Oh, this was a disaster, you know. If I remember that time, that moment, it was really disaster. I don't want to go into details, but what was happened and what was it, what most important thing that we all still alive. That's very important, which after this car crash accident, actually, my life changed, you know. completely. I was somewhere, you know. That moment, I was somewhere, you know. I was somewhere. I can't describe what a feeling. It's like turning off the television. Just imagine you're sitting and you're turning off television in your mind. It's like poof, nothing, you know, nothing. But in the same time, I felt so light, so light. All heavy things in my mind, in my body, was vanished. Second moment. And something brought me back to life. Steve, I don't know how to say that, but something brought me back to life. And was amazing because even I didn't felt anything that then comes to me so terrible feeling, because when something brought me back to life, I didn't feel my body. It was, and around I felt some, like in the movie, you know, the fire people comes with the, you know, these, which breaks the metal, you know, because the car was crashed, like, you know, pocket of cigarette, something like that, you know. I cannot move, you know, and we like packed, and, you know, ambulance around, you know. I start to hearing the noises and people shouting around, you know, and something like, you know, it was a movie, like in a movie. I cannot describe. And then the pain came to my body. The pain, it's so pain, heavy pain, you know? And I felt, and I said, thanks to God. I'm feeling my legs. I'm feeling my body, you know? It comes back to me, you know? It's precious moment in my life, you know? Oh, my God.
I mean, the recovery time, you were in hospital a long time, and it must, I mean, that must have been a terrible experience in itself, not knowing if you would be able to be physically okay, because I understand that even wasn't sure during that period.
Well, it's terrible because so many people comes to hospital. We were brought up to city Elektrane, because the nearest city was Elektrane to hospital, and every doctor was afraid to do something because they don't have enough competence to do something about it. And so many television comes, journalists, you know, it's the hospital was full of people packed, you know, and we were keeping us in some room, you know. I was laying with the all stuff, you know, and I didn't felt anything because they gave me painkillers, you know. And then they brought us back to Vilnius, which is like 50 kilometers. It was terrible because I was in ambulance and everything was shaking, you know. But I felt the support, huge support of people around me, you know, from the doctors to nurse and fans, you know, friends. They all were, I think, praying for us, you know, and yeah, it's like in a movie. I don't know how to describe Steve, but it's, you know, it's thank you, Steve. By the way, thank you so much. You just gave me this touch. I just came back to you know, to all these stories. You know, it's amazing. No, sweetie, thank you.
And of course, after the hospital, I mean, the band, you know, you got back to performing, you got back to being, you know, yourself again and having success. And eventually, I know I'm covering loads of years here, but eventually...
Recovering. It's like 1 year I was recovering. 1 year.
Yeah.
I was recovering. And then we made the huge tour around Lithuania. And our tour was... The main and the last concert was in Vilnius in a place Vingio Parkas, which actually the place, symbolic place, because before we get freedom, when we were in Soviet Union, in that place was thousand hundred people gathered for Lithuanian freedom, you know? And we decided to make concert there in this park, huge park, Vingio Parkas. And we didn't know what will happen, you know? And it was amazing when we saw the crowd, when we step up on the stage, this moment, before this moment, the bodyguards was around and I see the huge crowd in front of me, you know? And it was like, oh my God, it's something. That support was, we felt that our music, you know, our stories, what we have in hearts, what we, how to say, this all time, you know, our music, it's so important to people.
I'm going to jump completely because we've spent three quarters of an hour about a certain period of your life. And I really wanted to get in the stuff with Mark Reeder, because it relates, in some way, it relates to an earlier period as well.
Absolutely.
So you met Mark Reeder when he went to, I think he was at a film festival and he was invited to DJ and played one track.
In Vilnius. We met in Vilnius, yes. Yeah. So, Kinopavasaris Festival, movie festival.
But you hadn't met him before. Did you know about him? Or was
I
it
haven't
the first
met him
experience?
Before. I didn't know anything about him.
So how did the connection happen?
It actually we were invited to this party. I mean to this festival. I was with my wife, and we were sitting in the middle of the hall, and some guy crossed us, you know. And Valda said, "Look, this guy with uniform, I mean army uniform, and he got long shoes, you know. It seems like Germany uniform, looks like, you know. And, you know, who's this guy, you know?" She felt something, you know. And then I saw him on the stage, you know, and he performed one song from his soundtrack movie. And back then I was a bit lost in music. I was searching for some new, you know, because I tried everything in Lithuania and I worked with many people. And I was trying to find some new sound to start my new path, you know. And I listened to that track, and Mark was DJing, and the sound touched me completely. I liked the way this song was, you know, performed and sound. I don't remember, but I think it's a New Order song, the remix of New Order, something like that. So, and after all, we came in touch with the Mark. Because we know who made this festival, we came to organizers and asked, maybe can we meet Mark, and they help us. So
but what connected you when you talked? What was the connection? Was it purely music?
First of all, we went to his movie to see his movie.
Oh, no, I understand that. But I mean, when you actually met him and talked, did you have a, I mean, Mark is very much about Berlin. You know, he was there because of B movies about Berlin in the 80s and the Cold War and those experiences and your experiences of that era.
We got
course,
Cold War. We got
connect Soviet you in Union some way. Yeah. And the type of music. So you have a musical connection and you have an experience connection as well. So when did it come to the point that you decided together, okay, let's create something together? When did that
actually
come?
We talked with him that evening. We talked about 1 hour maybe, and we decided to come to his movie. He's invited us, so we came with my wife, and we watched all movie. Amazing movie. We like it so much. And it's in soundtrack and everything was really so delicate and at the same time informed very well, you know, that's really, you didn't remember such a things. And it actually, it's like for you, new story, you know? And then after movie, we came to Mark, and then we, you know, trying to invite him to coffee or, you know, to some lounge bar. But we stayed in the movie theater, and we talked so long, you know. And the movie theater even they say, "We are closing, guys. Can you please proceed somewhere else?" So, and we got so many points of because I like music, what he's doing, you know. And I talked about myself, and we talked with him, my wife, and we made some connection, very nice connection about life. So how much we can talk in this moment, you know, to spend together. So, and this all connected us. His experience, Cold War, you know, in Germany, he felt very well, you know, and my experience of Soviet Union, you know, all that things in Baghdad, you know. Yeah, Iran, Iraqi war, you know, all this stuff. So, and this connects us so very well. And then every week I call to Mark. Every week we talk by the phone, and I say, "Mark, I want to work with you. Can we do music together?" And finally he agreed, and we start to work together. So
I mean, you've created two albums together, the Life Everywhere one, the latest album.
The latest,
what,
yeah.
What I really love about it is that you've mentioned all the connections, and you can hear them all. You know, everything is on that album. How was it for you? I know you sang in English before on the previous album, but how was it for you, for someone who that English, you know, isn't your mother tongue, to sing in English?
It's Children of Nature. It was first my international album. I had a dream to release international album, and everything happened like many, many years ago, after when Soviet Union crushed. So many, many years ago, I had a dream. But, you know, but opportunities happened like that I met Mark. I'm very grateful for that. And Mark as a person is a wonderful man. And he got huge experience. Not only musically, but, you know, in many things. So, and we talked with him about many things, political things, historical things, you know, what what inside, about spiritual things, you know, about what people lives always in conflict, you know. And to go back to your question, that's the first international album. But this is that you're talking about English. This is my first English album, and this is about language, right, Steve? Yeah. But my experience, because I listened a lot of foreign Western music back then, even in Soviet Union times, I have opportunities to listen. And I sang all the time. I read the lyrics, sang, you know, trying to understand the lyrics, what they're writing about, you know. And I going so deep, sometimes even 2 or 4 hours I was spending with the English songs, you know, sitting at home and all the time singing some songs, you know, on a studio, you know, on the room where we rehearsing with the band, you know. I was always with the English language. And I said to myself, one day I have to be ready, whatever it takes, I have to be ready. So
Well, it's an amazing album, and I absolutely adore your voice on it. I just think it's just
thank
you
you,
have
Steve.
such an amazing voice.
Thank
And
you. I can't believe it, but so thank you so much. Thank you.
one thing that really, I want to end with is because, you've had all these twists and turns in your life, and some of them have been obviously very, very difficult. And you're at another stage in your life where you're sort of moving internationally, which is really interesting. You're also at another stage because, you mentioned that you got married, you've got children,
Yeah,
and
I've got
because of what
beautiful
happened,
children, beautiful family.
and because of what happened to you in the past, to have a beautiful family and then in essence for it to break for different reasons and change, how are you as a father? How has your experience in life made you as a father?
Yeah. To be as a father is very hard, I would say, Steve. Responsibilities, you know. At the same time, it's very hard, but at the same time, it's very rewarding. Family is something sacred to me. It's not only because I had some family back then, wonderful, beautiful family, loving mom and loving father and sister, but it's in my roots, in my heart, because my mom, she gave me that love. Also my grandma, I'm very grateful to her, because she gave me so much love too. Because she take me, and so this loves even all things what's going on around, Steve. I'm not gonna go in details because you know we need maybe 1 week to talk about so or even more. Yeah. So this all background, even this all, you know, uncertainty, fears, you know, which we all have, you know, these conflicts all the time, you know, all the time something wrong is going on around you, you know, world is not stable, you know. This love is always in my heart. So this is what I'm trying to do, is to give to my family how I feel, how I understand that. And
Oh, that's beautiful. Listen, Alanis, I have to go. So, Alanis Chosnau, Thank you. It's been a wonderful hour. I'm gonna catch up with you again because there's so much more I want to ask you.
Yeah, because you know it's so many stories around, and you know it's like we're jumping from one period to another. So,
I know. I missed out so much.
In the same period, in the same time, so many things happened, and you know, and all this, you know. Steve, thank you so much.
Anyhow, I will be in touch, and thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.